With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wonder what this is.
Ready?
Yeah.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world.
Yep.
She took the midnight train going anywhere.
Yep.
What's the next line?
I don't know. She's gone anywhere. What, the train to anywhere?
She's gone anywhere.
Just a city boy? Isn't the boy
yes.
coming? So, end stage left.
Just a city boy.
Is a city boy?
Just a city boy.
Yep.
Born and raised in South Detroit.
Urban.
Blue collar.
Urban. Blue collar American
yeah.
area.
Yeah.
That's what it's telling
Gritty
you.
Gritty American dream.
Yeah. But where's he going?
I don't know.
He took the midnight train going also anywhere.
Right.
Then there's an instrumental.
So they're both of equal intelligence.
And you hear the guitar go. Each other.
Yeah, that's great.
Just out of interest.
I love it. I love this song, by the way.
Where can you go at midnight? Like
what?
The midnight train going anywhere. It should really be she took the midnight train going wherever what? A train goes at midnight.
Yeah, to the depot. She's going to the depot.
She's going back to where they maintain the trains.
Yeah, where they maintain the train. She's going to let them switch
off the
lights. You
know what? I'm going to look this up. Hang on a minute. Train times. Let's just say Liverpool Street, right?
He was born and raised in South Detroit. So why is in England? But go on.
Okay, fine. All right. Just to...
Just say. Right.
Chingford.
Right, so she's in Chingford.
Chingford. If you were going anywhere, you wouldn't be going anywhere. You'd be going to the one place that leaves from Liverpool Street at midnight.
Right.
Chingford. So we've got the boy, the girl.
Yeah.
And we've got... This is where I feel like he tried to write a song that had like a narrative about a boy and a girl
mm-hmm.
who run away together and never stop believing.
Mm-hmm.
Like living on a prayer.
Absolutely.
So he has the story.
Yeah.
But then in the next verse, he sort of, I think the writer realizes he's like, ah, fuck it.
Yeah, he fucked it off.
I can't be asked to do a narrative.
Yeah.
Because then he goes,
it's no fun.
A singer in a smoky room.
Mm-hmm.
The smell of wine and cheap perfume.
For a smile, they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on. Strangers waiting. Up and down the boulevards, their shadows searching in the night.
Blinky, blinky,
street lights, people. Then this bit's savage. Living just a bad emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. I like
it. Hiding somewhere in the night. What is that? Working hard to get my fill. Everybody wants a fill.
Mm.
I feel like he's really running dry
right.
on this verse.
Yeah.
Paying anything just to roll the dice one more time. Some will win, some will lose. Some were born to sing the blues.
Yeah.
Oh, the movie never ends. It goes on and on and on and on. Strangers. Interesting song that you think that you're going to get the don't stop. That's an outro.
Yeah, yeah.
I always thought that was the chorus.
No, I love it.
Really?
Yeah, I really love it.
One thing I don't
like, great.
I don't like how this song is made to make you feel something. You know?
What do you mean?
Like, it comes on at the end of the night, last orders, and you're meant to, like, grab all your friends and, like, sing it all together.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, when I hear, I go into the corner and just, you know, look in the middle distance, have a bit of a
look in the mirror.
I look just off into the distance and go,
don't stop believing.
Hold on to that feeling.
Oh, really?
To that feeling.
I don't know how it goes.
Well,
on and on.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, something like that. I love it.
I think that I don't like how this song is like, it's meant to make you go, yeah, like it's meant to pump you up.
You feel manipulated.
You know, like the 80s was a whole...
Yeah.
The 80s was, I feel like, the only decade in music that made songs exclusively to make you pumped.
Right.
You know?
Just to get you...
Like, this is one of them. If you were like, if I had just got divorced and joined a gym and was like, I'm getting back into shape, this would be maybe the first song I'd listen to.
Yeah.
Just so I could, like, looking at myself in the mirror. What are those weights called, those ones?
Dumbbells.
Yeah, doing dumbbells.
Right, right.
I feel like the 80s was the era of songs to get you pumped up.
And I
would like to know what the socioeconomics or, like, cultural thing was that made that happen. Right. And I think I know what it is, right? So if you look at these songs from the 80s, Don't Stop Believing, Eye of the Tiger.
Of course.
Ding, 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 ding. You're boxing and you're Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
You're in a ring fighting a man, he's Russian.
Cold War.
And then We Will Rock You.
Yeah.
Buddy, you're a hard man, drinking coke, and then you're kicking cans down the street.
Clapping.
It's just drums.
And
then
hitting.
Then guitar.
Clapping.
We're going to make you all sing along. We, you know,
yeah.
Pumped up. Beat It.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the weakest of all of these songs lyrically.
Okay.
Michael Jackson trying to be badass.
Mm.
It's called Beat It.
You put this on a mixtape.
Yeah.
You know, you put this it on gym, all on one.
This is the divorce mix.
Yeah, yeah. When you're leaving the divorce courts, you sweep back your perm and you get in your convertible and you start up the engine, the mixtape comes on.
Pull out this new thing called a credit card, rack up a line.
Yeah.
A line of pure 80s coke.
Yeah. This can only end well, you say, as you pull out of the parking lot.
Beat It! Hey, I want to write a song about how badass I am. What's it called? It's called Beat It.
Yeah. Michael, you're overcompensating.
Jump. Have you ever seen Van Halen do that at Greensboro?
No.
So in like 2010 or something like that, Van Halen are playing Greensboro, which is somewhere in America.
Mm-hmm.
And Greensboro, I guess that's how they would say it. Greensboro. Obviously, there's four people in or five people in Van Halen, right?
Yeah.
But this keyboard going, bug, it's the fucking 80s. You know that keyboard part?
Yeah. That's, I often inject steroids to it.
That's a sample.
Yeah.
It's played on a backing track.
Yeah.
And the bit rate, the sample rate,
right,
is wrong. It plays at the wrong pitch.
What do you mean? Why?
Because it's at the wrong bit rate. Some engineers plugged it in and programmed it incorrectly.
And they just thought...
And it plays a bit sharp or a bit flat. Listen to this. Right?
Right.
Here's the band. Ready?
Shit.
And you can see the band, they're all like, what the fuck's going on? What the fuck is going on?
Oh my god.
Oh!
Wow.
And every member on stage, Eddie and the other guys, are like, they're all trying to figure out if it's them that's out of tune.
Yeah.
So they're all going up and down a different fret.
Oh, really?
So everyone is playing a different thing.
Wow, it sounds like bagpipes.
And then it isn't helped by the fact that he gets on a giant inflatable microphone and rides it around the stage at the end of the video.
Right, that's incredible.
Look that up, Van Halen, Greensboro.
Wow.
Greensboro.
I wonder what the atmosphere was like when they came off stage.
Did
they speak?
I think someone got fired.
I think no one spoke.
I think someone at the record label's son, who was doing their backing tracks, is really into his keyboards, definitely got fired.
Got fired, and no one spoke for like an hour afterwards.
Girls on Film?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one? Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding. You know, do you think we've lost something?
Final Countdown?
Yeah.
There's so many. All 80s.
Yeah, all 80s.
It's a final countdown. See, that was in the heyday as well, when the band was named after where they were from. You know? Boston.
Yeah.
Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Europe.
Yeah, literally Europe. Yeah.
They were like, hey, we really like all those bands that are named after cities they're from. Where are we from? Skegness. What is it about the 80s?
Mm-hmm.
What's the one with the girl and she's got the welding and then she stops to do a dance?
Flash dance.
Flash dance. And then nobody puts watermelons.
Baby in the Corner.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. Footloose, Kevin Bacon. You couldn't have a movie if it wasn't about dancing.
No.
So is that why it was? Was the economy booming or crashing?
In the 80s.
Must have been booming.
No, crashing.
Really?
The economy was, yeah.
So the economy's always crashing.
Well, no, but the economy crashed in the 80s and then it kind of picked up steam again in the mid to late 80s as unbridled capitalism kind of took hold and you know, there's more deregulation in the markets and stuff. But yeah, no, it was, I think you get more escapism in art and film generally during recessions, don't you? You get really daft. I mean, it's different now because everyone steals films. So you've actually got to either make the big escapist film or the small little indie film. But anyway, but like, I think at the time, like for example, Rocky.
That was,
well, I mean, it's obvious the Cold War had a huge, you know, shaped film and entertainment in the 80s, isn't it?
That's when terrorists were all Russian.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the other reasons why Die Hard is maybe the most perfect movie ever.
Right.
Because the terrorists are a very multicultural bunch of lads.
Yeah, yeah.
German, American, English, Chinese,
invariably,
Russian.
But they're all blonde.
No, they're not. There's the Chinese guy. Hans Gruber's got brown hair.
Oh, yeah.
There's the black guy. You didn't bring me along for my charming personality. That
right.
guy, the
yeah,
hacker.
No, you're right.
And then there's the two brothers. Hello, Bruder.
But they're all kind of a cosmopolitan kind of group, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, but they're very, like, mixed.
A renegade.
Very mixed.
Yeah, very mixed. Yeah.
I hope if I am ever in an international gang of bank robbers hiding as disguised as terrorists,
right.
I hope that we're as multicultural as the... Like, Hans Gruber gets a lot of flack in that movie.
Yeah.
But no one says, hey, he's put together a...
Equal opportunities.
Yeah. Like a ramshackle crew of multicultural ruffians.
Yeah, he doesn't see ethnicity, he sees talent. Gruber. I root for Gruber.
The 80s song, the fucking Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
I mean, that song is so big that it can't really be listened to without it being ironic.
Yeah, yeah.
But when that song came out, it would have been like fucking doing a line in a nightclub.
Yeah, yeah.
With those, what are those cars called where the doors come up on the sides?
DeLoreans. You have a DeLorean.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
I just imagine myself slapping my own face.
What, after you've done a line?
No, just listening to the song, slapping my own face, going, come on! Come on!
I think a lot of it was to do with cocaine.
Yeah.
As we enter a new era of the digital age of music,
right.
I think it's important to remember that cocaine equals good songs.
Right. So on the scales of positive negative with the class A drug cocaine,
yeah. you die of heart attacks.
Yeah, you know, arrhythmia, impotence, depression.
Yeah.
But on the other side, you power ballads.
Yeah.
Right.
Fucking balls out rock, power rock, power pop.
Right. I just remember Tina Turner.
You're simply the best, really? Yeah, you're better than all the rest.
Yeah.
She's really driving home the same point.
Mm-hmm.
Better than anyone. Oh, anyone I've ever met.
Anyone that I've
Do you think
met?
She meant anyone I've ever met? Like, there's maybe someone I haven't met that's better than you.
Yeah, she's qualifying.
Better than anyone that I've ever met. Or do you think she meant anyone I've ever met, like the whole world?
Well, it's deliberately ambiguous, isn't it?
Yeah.
So just, you know.
So hello there. Welcome to the Excitable Boy podcast for Wednesday, the 28th of June in the year 2017. This, I hate to drop a bombshell on you loyal listeners, is the final, last, ever episode of the Excitable Boy podcast.
Yep. We've decided to take the podcast out into the back, beat it up with a spade and a shovel.
We're going to take this podcast out like a horse with a broken leg.
Yeah.
Load up a shotgun, and we're not even going to say anything nice to it before we shoot it in the head.
But before that, waterboard the fuck out of it. Just rendition the fuck out of the podcast.
This is the final episode of the Excitable Boy podcast.
It is.
I know.
But we're not going to be away forever.
Well, shh, don't give it away.
Right.
This is the last ever episode.
It is.
Ever.
Right.
Don't give it away. We're not coming back. This is it. This is the end.
It's been a great run.
It's been a good run. 3 years. That's a long run. That's longer than Forrest Gump ran.
Yeah.
What have been your favourite bits, Tim?
Now, as it draws to a close.
Because we're definitely not coming back with another show.
No, that's not happening.
That's not happening.
No.
That's not, that's over.
It's been emotional.
Has it?
No, not at all. Every time we finish recording, I just leave and forget immediately.
But no, seriously, thanks to everyone listening.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
No, it actually does.
It does.
It does.
I'm amazed that there's people who have listened every week for 3 years.
I'm disgusted by it. Yeah.
I think my favourite moment of the podcast was when we were discussing how to survive a zombie apocalypse.
Right.
And you said, and we were talking about survival routes, and I said I'd board up my house and wait it out. Right. And you said that you thought you could fly a plane to France.
Yeah.
And it was a really, like, you thought a Cessna. You thought that you could, A, get to an airfield, and B, that a Cessna would be easy enough to fly.
That's right.
That you could fly and navigate your way to France.
That's right.
Like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing moment, not just for the podcast,
right,
but also for our friendship.
Okay.
Because it made me realise that you are a fucking idiot.
Okay. Well, I think I refute that. I think that's grossly unfair.
Mm-hmm.
I picked the plane, as it's a very easy, drug dealers used to traffic drugs into from Mexico into the States flying that plane.
Not drug dealers, pilots. Pilots.
No, some of them weren't. Some of them were just like, you know, let's give it a fucking go. You know,
this is where the '80s mix would come in handy.
Yeah, yeah. What you do is you put the key in, turn it, you gun it up to whatever, you know, to critical speed. Get the stick, and you just lift the stick a bit. You don't lift it past a certain, you know, past too steep. Otherwise, you go into a flat spin and you lose thrust and propulsion. So you just like gently.
It's called stalling.
Yeah, you stall and spin towards the earth.
You don't spin when you stall. You just fall.
Okay, I agree to disagree.
Hang on, can I just pause you there before you carry on?
What?
Critical speed.
Yeah.
So you'd be going down a runway, and you, with no flying experience, would think, you know, I think that's fast enough.
Yeah, basically,
I think that's okay.
Well, you feel the plane start to go. You'd feel it start to go, come on. You know, you've got to be, when you're driving an aeroplane down the runway, you've got to feel responsive. You feel it through your body. Mm. You wouldn't understand.
I don't fly the aeroplane.
Yeah, the airplane flies me. Yeah, and you lift off and boom, and you just use the sun to navigate. You're just like, well, if it rises...
Really? Okay, Tim.
East-west, boom, boom.
Where does the sun set?
It sets in the west.
See, you had to think about it.
Yeah.
Right? And what if it's 11 a.m.?
And
you've only got enough fuel for 3 hours.
Well, you have a little look and you go, what is that? But okay. And you have a compass. There's a compass on the damn, you know... Like a proper compass.
What
on
part
the,
of the plane is it on?
It's the cockpit. It's on the dials.
On the dashboard.
It's where the dashboard.
Is it on the dashboard?
It's where the dials are.
Uh-huh.
And then you go and you take off and you're like, I'm heading due south.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit France. It's fucking massive.
France is not due south.
France is massive.
Yeah, but it's not due south.
Of course it is.
It's not.
Of course.
No, it's not.
France is due south from here.
No, it's not.
Where is it then, Josh?
I don't know. It's southeast.
No, south. South, south, south. It's massive. You hit France.
And where do you land? How do you get the fucking landing wheels down?
In a field.
You moron.
In a field. Well, that's it. On those planes, the wheels don't really go up. They just stay down. Do you know what I mean? So...
And you think that you could fly at level back down?
Oh, yeah.
See, okay, so what I think...
It'll be a bit bumpy.
If you had the most luck ever, I think maybe you could get off the ground.
Right.
But you would definitely die. I would parachute out.
Okay.
I'd rather jump out of an aeroplane than let you try and land it.
Okay.
In fact, even if I didn't have a parachute, I'd still jump out.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're not invited. You're not in the plane.
Oh.
So it's just me.
Where am I?
Navigating the crosswinds.
Did I die in the apocalypse?
I imagine you're going to wash out pretty quick.
So that would be... I mean, that was probably my favourite moment of the show.
Yeah.
That we just talked about again.
Yeah.
we're going to take a short break. One more final ad break. And we'll be back in a sec for the final ever letters.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Excitable Boy podcast. The last ever. Welcome back to the last ever.
Mm.
And we're not coming back, are we?
No.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
We haven't got another show.
Turning on our heels.
Coming on and coming out in a few months.
Not at all.
That's not what's going on here.
That'd be outrageous.
Yeah, this is it. There's definitely not another one.
No.
That we've got up our sleeve.
No.
Nope. Let's do some letters. The final ever reading of helping you guys. We have helped literally dozens of people.
Yes.
So what's that? 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 50. How many weeks are in a year?
54.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's a leap year, then it's 74.
Okay.
Right. 54 weeks. Yeah. That's 150 odd shows.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Three letters a show.
Mm-hmm.
That's 450 letters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We have saved the lives of 400 people.
It's very humbling.
Every week you can write into the show. Oh, no, you can't. You fucking can't.
Nope.
You can't now. No more weeks ever can you write into the show.
No.
EBP@excitableboypodcast.co.uk. It's a redundant email address now. Any problems you might be having, maybe it's a work-related problem, like...
All right. You work in an admin kind of job.
Kind of job.
Hang on, just... Okay, again. Work in an admin kind of job. And your boss is called Alan. Alan likes animals and you want to impress him. And so one day he comes up to you and says, do you want to sponsor koala? I've got a koala, do you want to sponsor him? You go, Alan, fuck yes, I love koalas. Here's some money. And you give us some money for the koala. It's called Toby the koala. You've helped Toby the koala. Beat a venereal disease is quite horny as Toby. So months pass and you keep giving money to Bob. Is it Bob?
Alan.
Alan. You keep giving money to Alan.
You keep giving money to Alan. You keep giving money to Alan.
Until one day you realize, because you hack his emails and see that there's no such thing as the koala at all, and he's been spending your money on cocaine. So you confront him and say, what's this? I thought I was giving it to koala, but instead you're blowing it up your nose. No wonder you're so edgy, you have no shame. Does this koala even exist? He says no, and you go, well, I've got to go. But before, take some of this and you punch him in the face. So write in about that.
Well, you keep giving money to Alan. 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 You keep giving money to
Yeah.
Maybe it's a relationship problem, like.
Okay. You go out with a girl called Sarah, and it's going really, really well. Really, really well. And she really likes going out to dinner, and you love going out to dinner too. But unfortunately, every time you go out to dinner, she makes a fuss. She takes ages picking what she wants to eat and insults all the waiting staff. And it gets really awkward. And every time she does this, you really want to kill her. Sarah keeps spoiling movies for you.
Sarah keeps spoiling movies for you. Sarah keeps spoiling movies for you. Sarah keeps spoiling movies for you.
For example, last week you went to Nando's and she walked in, she was really rude to the waiter. And even though at Nando's you kind of pick your own stuff and then you go up to the till and you order and they bring it, it wasn't going to end well. Then something came and it was spit in it. It was like a whole chicken burger with peri peri and she kicked off. And so you ended up having to leave and she was crying and it was awful. So
she walked out of the door and said, I didn't have a peri good time.
Sarah keeps spoiling movies for you. Sarah keeps spoiling movies for you.
Surrogate spoiling movies for you. Surrogate spoiling movies for you.
Then you went to Frank and Mank and you ordered a massive pizza. You really, really like these pizzas. And she was like,
They're overrated pizzas.
I'm not really convinced about this pizza, she says. Well, give it a go. And then she's right in the middle of the meal, just out of nothing, she picks up your pizza and drapes it over her head and goes, you like this, you fucking twat?
Where are my fucking pizza hat? You like my pizza hat? And where are my fucking pizza hat? You bastard.
3, 2, and...
Serving spoiling dinners for you. Did we sing the second chorus? Movies?
Maybe.
Shit. Old habits.
Old habits die hard.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Maybe it's a sexual problem, like... Soft-boiled eggs make you horny.
Not hard-boiled, soft.
Soft-boiled.
You've got to have a bit of a yolk.
A dipping. The dipping. The dipping turns you on.
It's always the dippy eggs.
Yeah, you always had a thing for soldiers. all right, here we go.
All right.
This is the first of the last ever three letters...
Right.
Of the 400 some people.
Yeah, we picked them up off the floor. We've made a little, splint.
Yeah.
For their broken arm. We've kind of attached it.
Mm-hmm.
We've nursed them back to health.
For 3 years, we've been picking you up in the garden in both our hands and getting a shoebox full of old bits of torn paper.
Yeah.
Putting you inside, watching you slowly die, and then telling the kids that you got better and flew away.
Yeah, yeah.
My parents did that when I was a kid.
Really?
We found it like a baby pigeon.
Mm-hmm.
What's that called? A pigeon? I don't know. Found a baby pigeon in the garden that was like seriously fucked up from a cat.
Right.
And we took it in, and me and my sister were singing to it. Right.
Well, that's very sweet.
And honestly, this is what happened. My dad went, "Oh, I think he's feeling better," and like walks him away.
Right.
30 seconds later, I hear a toilet flush. And then my dad walks back in the living room and goes, "He flew away, flew out of my hands, flew out the window."
Yeah.
And I thought it was a miracle.
Yeah.
My dad flushed an almost dead bird down the toilet.
Did the mercy killing.
Okay, first letter. Dear EBP, 5 months ago I started a relationship with a guy. This is from a girl, by the way, because she says at the end, "P.S. I'm a girl."
Right.
5 months ago I started a relationship with a guy. Everything is going very well, and I'm very happy with him. Problem is, after years of confusion and denial, I have just recently accepted that I am bisexual. I genuinely love this man and don't want to hurt him, but I feel like at this point in my life, I need to explore my sexuality. This is the healthiest relationship I've ever been in, and my family all love him. I genuinely love this man, and I don't want to hurt him. I see a happy future with him. However, I feel like if I don't explore my sexuality now, I may regret it later in life, or worse, end up resenting him for it. Do you think that I should just be happy that I'm finally in a healthy relationship with a wonderful man? Or do you think that hiding who I really am will come back to haunt me in the years to come?
I think you've got to talk to him about it.
Just because you love someone doesn't mean that you should be with them.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like Sting said, if you love somebody...
Fuck someone else.
No, if you love somebody...
What?
Message in a bottle.
Right, oh.
No, if you love somebody, set them free. Remember that Sting song?
Yeah.
In his I Was Never in the Police era...
Right.
When he did all those big fucking epic acoustic ballads. We're getting off the point.
Yeah.
The point is your happiness.
Yeah.
And I think if you want to go out and do stuff with women, I fully support that.
Right. Why are you smiling?
Because it's, I don't know.
Well, I think...
I think it's cool. You finally discovered who you are.
I think what she said is probably right, that if you're worried that you'll resent him for it, then you probably will.
Yeah.
So you've got to talk to him about it. Who knows? You know, you might even be able to have a slightly open relationship. Yeah, I think you should talk to him about it first.
I think that you'll be much happier when you're older if you look back on this time and you don't have any regrets.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a huge, huge opportunity and a huge life experience, and go for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you have to. If you've gone through that journey to get to where you are now, this epiphany, it would be foolhardy not to, you know,
Really, yeah. Really have a look.
Yeah, that's a huge realization. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, or not, because this is the last.
I know, definitely the last. There's no other. We haven't got any other shows. No,
nothing
up
our sleeve.
No. Okay, last ever letter. Dear EBP, I'm about to go on a summer holiday with a bunch of friends. Problem is, one of the girls on this holiday and I have been sleeping together for a few years on and off. And while her boyfriend isn't coming on the holiday, I'm really worried that we are definitely going to end up sleeping together in Spain.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
But yeah, it's a purely physical thing, and she's been with her boyfriend for 8 years, and this is where he's trying to justify his actions. And they never have sex.
Right.
The fact that he's not coming says a lot about where their relationship is at.
Right.
And yes, I know it's a shitty thing for me to do, but she's in a relationship, not me, and I'm not friends with her boyfriend.
I love this list. This list of justifications. Go on.
Should I cancel the trip?
Right.
I'm not worried that we will have sex. I'm not worried that we will have sex. I'm worried that we will get caught.
Right.
So, all
right,
mate.
Right at the end, it's like, I'm not. I don't think I'm not, you know, I'm in the clear morally.
Yeah.
It's just, well, then why write the letter? Like, what do you mean you're worried you'll get caught?
That's a very Trump-esque life strategy. Oh, I'm not worried about doing the bad thing. Yeah. I'm just worried about being reprimanded for the bad thing.
Yeah, I'm worried about getting caught. That's why I wrote into a podcast about it.
I'm really worried that I'm shagging the... Hey, lads, listen, I'm shagging this girl behind this guy's back.
And,
hey, my life's in a pretty good place, and I can afford this holiday, so I'm going to the south coast of Spain.
Mm.
Going to go sit on a yacht, drink a margarita, and get fucking high on cannabis spliffs.
Mm.
And I don't want my friends to see me putting it in there.
Yeah. She hardly ever has sex. If you think about it, I'm doing her a service.
Yeah.
I'm helping. So what's the question, anyway?
He's saying, should he go on the holiday?
Oh. Yeah, probably.
So you're supporting him?
No, and she's
she's an adult.
Yeah. Although, you know, I just think it's a bit irresponsible. You know, I wouldn't... I mean, if you can't go on... I would cancel the holiday. If you can't go and not shag her, I just think of her poor... What, is it her husband?
8 years.
She's
married.
Boyfriend. I just think it's not very fair on the... I always, in these scenarios, it's just not fair on the person who's... That kind of thing, well, justification of like, well, yeah, it's her decision too. I just don't... I think... You're still keeping one person in the dark, and that's not cool. It sounds to me like this woman is like, no, I'm going to keep this solid bet, and I'm just going to have fun on my own. And I don't think that's cool.
Yeah, that's not a very nice way to
live. It's not a very nice thing to do to this guy, is it?
No. No, what would I do? In all seriousness, go on the holiday and control yourself.
Yeah, find someone else. Find a señorita.
Yeah.
You know?
Flamenco dance the night away with some paella and a beautiful señorita.
Called Inés. Have some tapas.
Hey, what time's your siesta?
Yeah, just have some patatas bravas.
Yeah?
With Inés.
Yeah.
And, you know, go for long walks.
Yeah, go and pick up seashells and skim them on the shore.
Mm.
And don't sleep with that girl. Maybe just don't drink.
Go to a phone party at a super club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that happen in Spain?
I don't know.
Anyway, well, that's it. That's it.
That's
actually
it. We're done.
Yep. That's actually it. Don't join us next week for More Nothing.
No.
Because this is the last ever Excitable Boy podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we are definitely not coming back.
No.
With a new show.
No.
This is it. This is the end.
This is the end.
This is the end. And you know what, Tim?
What?
I know we make a lot of jokes on here and stuff.
What's that?
But I have had an average time doing this with you.
Yeah.
It's been... Getting to know you these last 3 years has been really fine.
Thanks, Josh. It certainly happened. Mm-hmm. It was certainly something that occurred in time and space over a tranche of time. Mm. Was it memorable? No. Mm. But we have a record of it, so we can always
delve back in
and listen,
you know,
which we will never do. Very much like how people film concerts
and
never rewatch them.
There you go.
But it certainly happened.
Mm-hmm. As we somberly take off our hats and walk in the wake of what was the Excitable Boy podcast, and we look at the open open casket of our two corpses, we think, did we enjoy that? Did we have a good time? Was it worth it?
What have we learned?
What have we learned? What have we given? What have we taken? Have we helped in any way? And the answer to all of that is probably not. We're glad that you came on this journey with us and you let us be in your ears once a week for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Over how many shows is that? 160-odd shows?
Quite a few.
Maybe pushing 200?
A lot.
A lot of shows.
Mm.
And we're eternally grateful that you listened.
A plenitude.
We had some great guests.
Mm-hmm.
We had some laughs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we made some mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes.
Everyone. I agree.
You know what? Cue the music. Cue the music. I think that's the perfect song to see out this show. And thank you, guys. And don't go and leave a review on iTunes. There's no point.
No, you're too late now.
You missed your window.
Yeah.
Missed your window. Don't tweet about it. You had your chance.
Your three-year window, fucks.
You had a three-year fucking window.
Fucks.
Tell your friends about it. And every week you went, I'm not doing them a favour.
Yeah.
And there's no more. We're definitely not doing another show.
No.
This is it. There's definitely not another one.
No.
And it's been great. It's been fine. It's been okay. It's been medium. And don't join us next week for More Nothing.
Goodbye.
That's it. This is the last time you're going to hear the theme tune.
Jesus Christ, this is a long... This is a fucking long wind-up, isn't
outro.
It? Yeah, long outro.
This Jeez. Is it.
Then let it be it.
Let it be. This is the last theme tune ever. Then seriously though, thanks for listening. It means a lot. And we might have another show coming up soon. Bye.
Bye.
She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume, for a smile they can share.